So let's open the Word of God. We're in a series on spiritual warfare, and in particular, the weapons of our warfare and the armor today. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have not left us ignorant of Satan's devices. But more importantly, we thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to open the eyes of our hearts that we may see what you've given us, that we may see that we have victory in your Son's name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we get started, I want you to answer this question. Are you in the Army? How many of you are in active duty Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard? How many of you are soldiers right now? Let me see your hands. Well, I think that all of us should raise our hands. If we are Christians, the truth is, we are all soldiers in the army of the Lord. And soldiers march. And we see in the Old Testament, they would shout and they would sing. So if you're in the army of the Lord, and I hope we all are, I want us to stand up during this song. I want us to march around if you want to. You can dance if you want to. And if you don't feel like getting up, just throw your hands up in the air just like you do not care. But praise the Lord. So now we're going to get active here. You're going on active duty, all right? You're going on active duty to the song, I am a soldier. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let's play that.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of this dark world. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so you can stand your ground.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the
stand
army.
Stand your ground.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army.
I got my war clothes on. Clothes on
in the army.
I got my war clothes on
in the army of the Lord.
I got my war clothes on.
I'm gonna fight until I die.
In the army.
Oh, I'm gonna fight.
stand your ground. Amen. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. If nothing else, I hope that woke you up. You said, well, I'm tired now. Take a nap now. Stay awake for the message. But that's part of the message. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. You say, wait, why do you have that white on today? Because this depicts the armor of the Lord. That's why I've got it on today. But the question is, as soldiers and as Christians, how do we put on the armor of God? We see the command here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand. How do you put on the full armor of God? Is it about getting this piece and that piece and you're all cut up into pieces? I want to look at the whole today, not just the pieces. We'll get into the pieces next time. But what we need to understand about how to put on the armor of God is this simple message. You put on the armor of God by believing and acting like you are in the armor of God. I'm going to say it again. Believe and act like God has placed you in his army. Not just his army, but in his armor. Believe it. Believe and then act. You see, actions follows a belief. You do what you believe. Believe and act like God has put you in his armor. He has clothed you in his armor. He is the one that puts us in the armor. We don't put ourselves in the armor. Please understand that. If you get nothing else out of this, we do not put ourselves in the armor. God puts us and places us in his armor. He puts us and places us in our armor, who is Jesus Christ, who is the armor of God. If you are a believer, God has placed you in his armor. Now we have to act like. But we've got to get that belief down as our foundation. See, the very purpose of this sermon is this. It is to help us see that in this spiritual warfare against the devil, we are in a position of strength, not weakness. We're saying that a mighty fortress is our God. It talks about not fearing him. We are in a mighty fortress. What do we have to be afraid of? A mighty fortress is our God. We need to see that in this battle, we are in the strongest position, not the devil. We need to understand that we have a position of strength and not weakness, of victory and not fear, of courage, not of defeat and discouragement. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what he has given us. That is what he has placed us in. We should not walk around like we're defeated. Oh, we just beat. I don't know what to do. God has placed you in the armor of the Lord, and he has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. We are called on to believe that, and we don't have to be bullied. He goes around like a roaring lion, but let me tell you something. On the cross, Jesus defamed him. He may roar. He may, you know, puff up, try to intimidate you. Don't go for it. We've got the victory, and we ought to be working and acting out of victory and strength, not of weakness and defeat. That's what I want us to get out of this. Put on the armor by believing the gospel. It's the good news of what God not just will do, but primarily what God has already done. He's already won the war. He's already won the victory. It is believing that Christ's life and his righteousness is what we are covered in. You are covered not in shame. If you believe, you're covered in the very righteousness of Christ. If you believe, all your sins and all your shame nailed on the cross in Jesus Christ. He took all our sins. All of them. They're gone. You are a new creation. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is, if anyone who is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new creation is a armored one, a powerful one. That's who you are. What if you were, oh, let's say the Atlanta Braves, who've been doing pretty good in baseball. What if you approach every game, well, I guess we're going to lose another one to L.A. I guess we might as well have stayed back there in Atlanta. I ought to be an underground today rather than out here playing. What if you had that defeatist attitude that you were going to always lose in any sport or anything you were going to do? I guarantee you, you would not be successful. Team psychology. I'm not talking about a psychology of this world. I'm talking about of his word. And in his word, he tells us who we are and in whom we are. It's not who you are. It is in whom you are. I'm here today to tell you that you are in Christ. You know, in this armor, it's believing in all that God has given us. That's where that confidence comes from. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord. What does he mean by finally? What he believes is, and what he says is, everything that he has written to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and throughout, he is now bringing to bear on what we have in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about how we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. In chapter 2, it tells us we are seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. We've got the high seat, if you please. We are seated with Christ on the throne over all principalities and powers. And on it goes. Chapter 3 says that God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think. We've got that resource behind us. What do we have to fear? I don't think there's anything. And it says in verse 19 of chapter 3, that we may be filled to all the fullness of God in us. Not just a little bit of God, but all the fullness of God dwells in us. It's the devil who's cringing, not you. And if he can keep you in ignorance, better off for him. But I'm here to tell you the good news. The Bible tells us what God has done for us. And having been blessed, as it says in chapter 1 of Ephesians, with every spiritual blessing, we put on the armor of God by believing that you are in the armor of God. Now, that may sound like a bunch of psychological jumbo, like a word soup or word jujitsu. No, it isn't. Putting on the armor of God is by believing that you are in his armor and that he puts you there. I'll say this. If you are a believer, a true believer, if you have been born again, all God's children, when they're born again, they don't get a diaper. All right. They get the armor, the full armor of God. When you believe. And it is not a matter of you putting on this piece and that piece, although that's important. But that God has put you in his armor. I want you to think about this. My wife and I were musing about this the other day, and we wrote this. I appreciate her contribution and help me getting it down. All right? Think about this. This is the quote. No one has put on the armor more, the armor of God more than they who realize, who believe and realize that God has put them in his armor already. You want to make sure that you're armored up? There is nothing stronger. No one has put on the armor of God more than they who realize, who believe and realize that God has put them in his armor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shout it off the rooftops. I'm not just a soldier of the Lord. I am in his armor. And since we are in his armor, the call to put on the armor of God is a call to become what you are. I'll say it again. The call, as the Bible makes in scripture, to put on the armor is a call to become what you are. You know what you are? You're in Christ, and therefore you are a Christ wearer. As I wear this armor today, spiritually, we are in Christ. We have his righteousness. We have his power. We are Christ wearers. That's why I wore this today. I'm trying to illustrate something. This is how we should act. Not in filth and sin, but in the righteousness that we're clothed in. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, and it's not talking about water baptism here, but a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit places us in Christ and in the armor. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit have put on Christ. That's Galatians 3:27, if you want to look it up later. Have put on Christ. If he has placed you or placed you in his armor, you have put on Christ. You act in participation. Galatians chapter 2, I'm sorry, Philippians 2. We often quote it. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, what you believe, you act. You put on the armor of God by believing you have it on and acting like you have it on. It changes everything. But it's from the inside out. God works inside, gives us a new heart, right? Then he empowers us, gives us the will to act and do. It's a participation. It's a cooperation. But it's God's initiative. In Ephesians 1:13, says this, you also were included in Christ. When did that happen? When you heard the word of truth, when you heard the good news of your salvation, having believed, I'm still quoting here, having heard the good news of your salvation, having believed, you were marked and sealed in him. There's a seal on you. When he placed you in Christ, when he placed you in the armor, you can't break loose, all right? No one can snatch you out of his hands, out of Jesus' hands, and Jesus is in the Father's hand. It's a double grip locked. This thing's locked up. Who you are and what you do, you act like who you think you are, who you believe you are. When you come to believe that you in Christ, that you are his, you begin to act like that. Action follows belief. I'm going to read chapter 1:13 again because I think it's so powerful. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. You know what that seal is? God Almighty himself, the Holy Spirit. You are God's, and you are a Christ wearer. Think about that. Because people see how we walk. They see how we talk. They see our example. We are Christ wearers. Remember that. Anywhere you go, and even if there's nobody looking, you're wearing Christ. Integrity is what you do when nobody's watching. But God is everywhere, and he is in us. Think about the implications of this truth. The boldness, the confidence in knowing that the enemy is powerless. Think about that. You have been encased in, immersed in, placed in armor, not just a piece here and there, not just a helmet, not just a belt, not just a sword and shield. But you are immersed in, you are baptized into Christ. You are a Christ warrior and wearer. The call to put on the armor of God is a call to become what you are. Say it again. Think about it. The call to put on the armor of God is a call to become what you are, a Christ wearer. To act like it. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 13? Let's turn there. I won't just quote it. I think it's so, again, profound. And Father, I just pray even now during the sermon that you'd help us come to see these things. Chapter 13 of Romans and verse 14. This is what Paul says. In fact, I want to go verse 12. Give me a little extra time here today, y'all. Appreciate it. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light. He's not saying that you've got to manufacture this. Go find this piece and that piece. He is saying what I've been preaching to you. That you are baptized into Christ. You have put on the armor. God put it on you. You come to realize that you're in Christ. And you begin to act like it. So he's saying, okay, it's time to act. Not act up, but act in Christ. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Christ is the light of the world. And he's called us to be lights. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't think about how to gratify the desires of a sinful nature. God translated it, says in Colossians 2, out of the kingdom of darkness, into his kingdom of light. God made that transfer. He moved you. And a call to put it on is to realize it and begin to act like who you are by the power and the strength of the Lord. It's a call to become what you are, a mighty warrior armed in our mighty God. Now, I want to tell you a little story. You've heard the story before. Anybody hear about Gideon and his 300? Well, that's not a car. You don't drive a Gideon 300. All right. Gideon got down to 300 men. I want to go through and share with you a little bit about Gideon, because I think Gideon emphasizes and displays to us that you put on the armor of God by realizing and believing that you are in the armor, and you begin to act like it. And in the book of Judges, in that period of time, they did not have kings of Israel. They had judges. And during this particular time with Gideon, the Midianites would come and they would steal the crops of the Israelites, rob them. And in chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, da 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 da. And he had a son. And the angel of the Lord asked, where is your son, Gideon? See, because Gideon was threshing. You take wheat, it does not come like in a Pillsbury, you know, flour package, okay? You have to take it and you have to thresh it, separate the chaff or the hull from the wheat. Then you have to grind it. It's hard work. And Gideon was threshing wheat in a vine press. Why was he doing that? To keep it from the Midianites coming and stealing. And so a vine press was like, oh, it's a big, big thing about maybe 6 feet high. And he was basically down there hiding the wheat, threshing it, and basically hiding himself. He did not realize in whom he was. He did not believe it, and he certainly wasn't acting like it. Now watch what God does. When the angel, verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What? Is this a joke? This guy's hiding in the wine press. And the Lord calls him the mighty warrior. Because that's who he was in. You say, well, he was in the wine press. Oh, no, that's just physical. He did not yet believe nor act like he was a mighty warrior. And that's how we are sometimes. We do not believe nor act like that we are in Christ, that he has placed us in his armor. And he realized that. He confessed in verse 13, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us. He's discouraged. You ever get discouraged? Oh, Lord, where are you? And put us in the hand of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. Wow. Did you hear that? Gideon, did you hear what the Lord said? And that's all of us Gideons out here. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Go in the strength you have. He did not believe what the Lord said in verse 11, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, armored warrior. He did not believe that. He believed he was weak. He believed that he did not have the faith. And that's why he was hiding out in the wine press. But God gives him the good news. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. You see, the Lord doesn't see as we see. The Lord doesn't even see you like you think you are, weak and helpless, discouraged, da 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 da. No, he sees it. He says to you, mighty, whoever you are, mighty, I'm looking at some names here, Deanna, mighty, whoever, Katrina. She says, oh, I'm not mighty. No, you're mighty. You've got to come to realize who you are and, most important, in whom you are. That's really who you are. And he went on to say, am I not sending you? Notice, go in the strength you have. Deliver Israel out of the hand. Am I not sending you? Would God send somebody out who was ill-equipped, poorly armored, weak, with no strength? Yes. From this perspective, so that we would not put our hope in ourselves and what little armor we may have and in our sword, but we would put our faith in him and believe that God has placed us in Christ and that God has placed us in his armor. That's where our confidence, that's where our victory, and that's where our strength comes from. We should be worshiping God in the strength of the Lord and in victory. Now notice what else he begins to complain. But Lord, my clan, my family is the weakest in Manasseh. And I'm the least, I'm the sorriest of my family. Wow. At least he's honest. Because you got to get real before you can get right. If you come up to God, well, I know each other. I got it all together. No, God have mercy on me, sinner. God, my faith is what you've done. And thank you, Lord, for the good news, what you've done in Christ for me. I'm going to depend on you, Lord. It is through faith. Then the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all of the Midianites together. Wow. He focuses Gideon not on his weaknesses, but on God's strength. I will be with you. You see, that's covenant language. When the scripture says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that's covenant language. God has made a covenant with his people, and he did, even with the Israelites, that he would be for us everything we needed him to be. And he would always be with us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He'd always be with us, and he would always be strengthening us. Listen to me. Verse 23. But the Lord said to him, listen to this. Peace. You know what Jesus said to the storm when he was in the boat? Peace, be still. God stills the storm within us. The fear within us. Look at the compassion of the Lord. He didn't tell him, boy, get up with your sorry self. You know, blah, 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 blah. No. What's wrong with you? No. He didn't come that way. He said, peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. God promised it. And you see, I don't want, I assign you to read chapters 6, 7, and 8. For time's sake, because it's really interesting. And it's really applicable to our warfare. Throughout the Old Testament, you see these battles, Jericho, this, that, and the other thing. It's teaching us how to fight the battle. And it is through faith. It is through believing that God is not only with us, but in us. Therefore, I want to leave you with these things. Obviously, believe. Believe that God has placed you in his armor. The scripture says that believing or faith comes by hearing, and that in the word of God. Go through the Gospels. Go through the Old Testament even. And look at how God helped his people. When it was like disaster and it's all over, the Lord showed up. When we are weak, we learn that's when God can come through the strongest in us. Read his word. Meditate on his word about Jesus and what he's done. It's all about Jesus from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Not in what we do, but what he's done. And then that arouses faith in us, and we begin to act out what we believe. Preach the gospel to yourself. Learn the gospel, what God has done for us in Christ. And then preach it to yourself. Like I like to always quote Psalm 42, David said, what's wrong with you? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Sometimes you gotta say, soul, what's up? Put your hope, David said, put your hope in the Lord. Realize that you are armored, that you are played. When God sees you, he sees not just our weakness, but the strength of Jesus, which is manifested, which just, boom, comes out. When we are weak, then he's strong. And then praise the Lord. Thank God for his strength. Praise him. Praise him. when he works in your behalf. Praise him even when you don't think he's working in your behalf. You see, we should praise, we should battle in the armor of the Lord from a position of victory and a position of worshiping God, not fretting, but worshiping the Lord. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. Always. You say, but it looks like I'm losing. Didn't we sing a while ago? He never lost. He never lost a battle. And he never will, nor can he. One thing God cannot do, he cannot lose. And see, when you believe that, you start acting like that. And the armor begins to show. And the armor of light begins to glow. Thanks be to God, who always gives us the victory. That ought to be the basis and the mindset of confidence and boldness and courage we go to battle with. Father in heaven, we thank you, like Gideon, that is not up to us and our families and where we come from and our background, the weakest. Yes, even as Paul wrote, that you did not choose the great of the world, the strong, but the weak and the small. And as Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Father, open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you, that we may see Jesus in all of his strength and all of his glory. And that we may believe that he lived for us, died for us, and was raised from the dead for us. Help us to walk in victory and boldness and in strength, believing in you and then acting the truth that you have placed us in your army and in your armor. And the victory is yours. Help us to act like that, Father. And we praise you for it. And if we are not there, Father, those who are not there, bring them there. Transfer them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Please do that, Father. Please save them. We can't save ourselves. And we ask you to do this for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Here we are for the Lord's Supper. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. This is a supper that in many ways is a supper of warfare. You say, how do you see warfare in the Lord's Supper? I'll show you. Matthew 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is warfare in that we are members of the body of Christ and his obedience, his faithfulness to God during his life is credited to us. And the devil has no claim on us because of our sins. For God has placed us in Jesus Christ. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven. The devil wants to use our sins against us. On the cross, Jesus defeated him by taking all of our sins, all of our shame. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren, and he comes at us to accuse us. But we are in Christ. and all of his weapons of shame. You remember when you did this, and you remember da 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 da, and you ought to be ashamed. You said, no, the shame is on the devil, because he has all those sins that he tries to use on us. It's back at him. He can't have any redemption. Jesus did not die to cleanse the devil of all of his sins. He is in torment forever and ever and ever, where forever and ever and ever we have freedom. We have peace and joy. We have been reconciled to God. We're no longer enemies with God, but children of God. We are at one with him. And he's given us new hearts. Drink from all of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We relate to God in a covenant. In a covenant made of two or more people. There's marriage covenants. There's all kinds of covenants. God has made a covenant with us. That in any covenant, and especially the one we have with God, it's his life for ours. He died for us. It is everything that he has is now ours. We share in the inheritance. He is most assuredly made us one with him. He placed us in Christ our armor, and he made us one with God, changed our hearts, and gave us a heart that now wants to act like what we believe. And the book of Ezekiel speaks of this covenant, this new covenant. He says, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. I'll put my spirit in you. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we believe. And we are moved to act on our beliefs. And we are careful to keep his way and his law. You will live in the land I gave you your forefathers, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, and you will be my people. And I will be your God. It's like a marriage where two become one. We're not only in Christ, we are his body. We are a part of him. This is so wonderful. So I can't explain it. Therefore, we ask God as we eat and drink to make this plain to us. So Father, now as we prepare for this wonderful supper, we ask that you would bless this bread. We thank you for it, the body of Christ. Bless it that we realize that we are a part of this one loaf that is you, that we are part of you, that we are one with you, and that we are strengthened because we treasure you above any physical food or any physical thing that we somehow believe will satisfy us. Let us be satisfied in you, Christ alone. Do bless this bread, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And then it says he took the wine after he had given thanks. He said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. So, Father, we now ask you to bless the wine. Father, obviously, you know, we're on Zoom and we're not all together, but as we together in spirit and in truth, drink of this wine, we drink of this covenant wine, this blood covenant, the blood of Jesus that guarantees all the blessings and all the promises that are made in your word will come to pass. Help us to believe those promises, for they are true, for they are guaranteed by the blood of Jesus. And we ask you to bless this wine now and let it be a blessing to us in that we walk in the truth that we are forgiven, that we're cleansed, and that we are one with you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless this wine. Amen. And now as we eat and drink in his name, listen to the song, and you can even sing along with it if you like, by his name. Amen.
Are freed, darkness will flee in an instant. By his name, the power in his name, by his name, the weak become strong, the broken and lost find their
Save.
Jesus.